So it requires us to look at beings in a quite new and different way, to look at beings, ourselves included, as self-interested, seeking our own best interests, but not really knowing what those wishes or those interests are. In the text, it says something like, "Beings seek happiness, but they don't know where happiness lies. What a pity." Of course, what a pity is a vast understatement. It's what a supreme tragedy. That's what tragedy is. It's where we seek great things, but we don't understand sufficiently clearly what greatness is. And we in seeking, in even achieving a degree of greatness, we also achieve other things that we didn't expect or want. So when we say, "May I cherish, may I always cherish all beings with the resolve to accomplish for them the highest good that is more precious than any wish-fulfilling jewel," this is all that's implied. May we care for others in the same way as we care for ourselves, but not just caring for others and ourselves as gratification-seeking beings, but as beings who have a high destiny, and whose highest interests lie ultimately in a spiritual realization, and whose deepest needs and strongest desires only find satisfactory fulfillment in that realization. This is what the text implies. And when we're doing the practice, we visualize all beings around us, and we try to create some identification with them, reflecting that they're like us, seeking happiness. That's what they want. They're no different from us. Even the harmful things they do to us are done because they believe that's in their best interests. And if we can sort of identify with others in that way, recognizing they're like us, just trying to find fulfillment, well, we can cross that barrier. We can begin to cherish. We can look around and see others in that way. We can begin to include them in our cherishing. But what we need to add to that is the depth of recognition that what they're striving for is best fulfilled in enlightenment. That's the only fulfillment for it. Short of enlightenment, there's going to be roughs with the smooth, if you like. There's going to be always negative consequences flowing on from the positive effects, even if it's only binding ourselves further into the system of samsara. Samsara is our seeking our happiness without understanding where our happiness really lies. That, if you like, is what samsara is. So we're continuously trying to benefit ourselves, but not really understanding where our benefit lies. And what we're trying to do in this bodhicitta approach is understand better our own highest interest and the highest interests of others, and see others as wish-seeking or fulfillment-seeking beings who just don't know where fulfillment lies, as we don't know where fulfillment lies. We've perhaps got the benefit of contact with the Dharma and maybe some vision, and on that basis we can try to help others. We go for refuge to the three jewels, and we can try, in going for refuge to the three jewels, to lead others on that path. So when we say, "May I always cherish all beings, with the resolve to accomplish for them the highest good that is more precious than any wish-fulfilling jewel," this is what we've got in mind. This desire to extend our cherishing of ourselves to others, and to see others and ourselves as seeking our highest happiness, seeking happiness, but wishing for us and others the highest happiness, where real fulfillment lies. And that's all we've got time for tonight. I thought I wouldn't do very much, but anyway, it's a good start, I think. Yes, I hadn't intended to promote discussion here, as it were. I just wanted to explore the text, and no doubt discussion can take place elsewhere. But if you'd like to, in 10 minutes' time, we're going to meditate. Some of us are going to meditate downstairs, and you're welcome to join us. You're welcome not to if you want to. Okay, and tomorrow night, same time, next verse.